Let the teachers win. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to find Micah. Find Micah. The book of Micah. Have you ever in life been at the place, God, what do you want me to do now? Now, come on. None of you have ever said that, but God, what now? Lord, what now? My circumstances, my life isn't exactly the way I planned it to go. And your favor, God, this I'm not right now where I thought I would be 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 months ago. But God, what do you want from me now? I'm going to answer that question. Glory to God. You're going to get an answer today. Isn't that cool? Come on. God's good. And we're going to start in verse 1, but before we get there, I just wanted to say this, because as the offering was coming up, I just wanted to announce that, you know, during the COVID, and we weren't able to meet, and, you know, we've been meeting in here, and God has blessed us with this, and we had the move in the middle of it. I mean, just crazy, crazy times. But God has been with us. Amen? And what's remarkable to me that He's sustained us even with financially. I mean, we just keep going and God keeps moving, but we're believing for more. Amen? And not just more because, you know, we want to say that we get more, but it's more so that we can do more for the kingdom, right? Glory to God. A couple of things there, and I just want to just speak to this a little bit, but I believe that God has promised us a building. We've even had little kids have vision of us in our new building. And so I just believe that's going to happen. So it's like somebody said, price is no object. Thank you for your enthusiasm and agreement. You know, price is no object because God can and God will supply. So here's what we're going to do from now on. Whenever you think about that, just say, Lord, thank you for our new building. Thank you for our new building. We speak to lack, and we just thank you, Lord, that you are our abundant supply. We thank you, God, that you're going to take care of everything. And I believe He's got the right place, the right building, the right time. Glory to God. So, excited about that. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. Micah chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now what the Lord says. How many want to hear what the Lord says? Really? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let your hills hear your voice. Hear you, O mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against His people, and He will contend with Israel. Now, I know that we are not in the Old Testament, and we're not really Israel, but we're God's people, right? In fact, the church is made up of Israel, you know, Jews, Gentiles, male, females, bond, slaves. Every one of us that call upon the name of the Jesus are in the church of God, right? In the family of God. And God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we're looking through this, I just want you to take it to heart and say, okay, God, what is it that you want of me? And so he goes on to say, O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. What he's saying is, look it. I've heard you complaining. What have I done to you? What have I done that's so terrible in your life that you are downcast, that you are rebelling against me? And I know nobody in here is rebelling because you're here today. Those that aren't here today, well, that's a different story. But no, I'm just kidding. But watch this. It's, What have I done to you that you're rebelling against me? What are you doing? I've spoken to you. I've done so many good things in your life. And if you think about Israel, he brought them out of Egypt. He fed them in the desert. Come on. He conquered the promised land. He gave them milk and honey. He did everything, supplied for them. He said, why, in that case, and I've always taken care of you, have you rebelled against me? Why? Really, if you think about it, it doesn't make sense. Right? It doesn't make sense. Now watch this. Watch. This is so good. Verse 4. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what the Balak, the king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. In other words, everybody say this with me, God is right.
God is right.
God is right. If you ever have a question about it, God's right. When it says the Lord is righteous, he is righteous, but he's right. His ways are right. His word is right. Even when it doesn't make sense to us sometimes, his word, but God, don't you understand? He's right. He's right. That you just have to come to that conclusion. God, you're right. If you tell me to do this, you're right. If you say not to do this, Lord, you're right. Come on. You got to have that heart, right? And based on who he is and what he's done, look at this, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Shall the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And really what he's saying is, what can you do? What are you doing that is really pleasing to God? Now, he loves our worship, right? He loves the things that we do for him, but I'm telling you, that's not it. That's not it. If you're doing the right things with the wrong heart, God's, not so much, right? When Jesus was walking the earth, right, the people of God, the Israelites, they were religiously doing everything that they knew to do. Don't eat this, eat that. Don't, at this time, don't do that. Don't do anything on the Sabbath. Do all of this, and they missed the whole boat. Right? Why did they miss the boat? They missed the boat because they didn't have the heart of God. And what God is saying here is, you can do all of those things, and yet you're really missing it. Come on. How many want to know what the Lord wants you to do? Right? Right? What does the Lord want me to do? When I'm going through things in my life and things don't seem to be right, and people have left me, people rejected me, or I've done something stupid and I'm reaping the result of that stupidity, what does the Lord want me to do? Come on, has anybody else been there besides me? Or are you just, everything in your life is good because you never make mistakes, you never do anything wrong, people are always good to you, you never have any problem? No, we're all there. But what does the Lord want us to do? What does the Lord want us to do? Verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And when he says man, he means woman too. Right? It's mankind. He's shown you what is good. How has the Lord shown you what is good? Read your Bible. Read what he said. Look at what he said. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said, if you observe all the things that I've commanded you, blessed will you be. And he goes on to list the blessings. They're awesome. We want to claim all the blessings, but we don't necessarily want to major on observing. The Lord has shown you what is good. In other words, oftentimes we know what to do, but because what to do isn't comfortable, what to do isn't popular, what to do isn't you know, the most beneficial to our minds, it doesn't sow to the fruit of our flesh, we begin to justify what we're doing as good. and the deal is that God wants you blessed. God wants you full of Him. God wants you to have a life that's abundant. But we can't keep sowing to the flesh and expect to reap the blessings of God. He's shown us what's good. He's shown us what good. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Well, how often are you rejoicing in the Lord? I don't know what to do. Well, I can tell you one thing, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, but I don't want to. Do it anyway. Some of the songs that we sang today, I was listening to them, and you know, as we were singing them and going over them, I went, yeah, yeah. Even in the lowest valley, even when it doesn't seem like you're working, Lord, I know you're working. I'm not going to complain against you, God. I'm not going to come at you from the standpoint that I need your justification for where my life is. I need to come from you knowing that you're just. I know what is good. He's good. What He says is good. What He requires is good. Come on, are you with me? So the first step here, what does the Lord require, is to know that He's good. We say it every week. I say it every week. I've done this now. We've been together over 25 years. Every Sunday, every Wednesday or Tuesday or whenever we meet, God is good. Come on. God is good. All the time, and His mercy endures forever. So if you ever have a question, God is good. How many have ever, and now don't raise your hands, but I'll bet most of us have had times, God, why me? What is going on? In other words, we're saying, God, you've messed up here. You're not on your job because I'm going through something I don't want to go through. And I should be blessed. And God is saying, well, who said you're not? But God requires something of you, and this is what He requires. Verse 8 again. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And I probably won't finish today, but in the next time that I'm here on Sunday morning, we'll continue this. But the first thing is to do justly. To do justly. God wants you to do justly. In what? In everything. And justly means the proper verdict or what is right or to do no unrighteousness. The first thing that God wants you to do in living life with yourself, with God, and with others is to do what's right. Do what's just. Come on, sometimes that's really hard. That's really hard, and it seems so simple, but yet it's so hard. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but I've been in situations where I've compromised justice. And I'll just give you an example. I'm not proud of this, but it happened. I was in a parking lot, and it was really narrow parking spaces, right? And mirror of my truck stuck out, and the mirror of the truck on the neck, and it just rubbed it a little bit. I thought, well, and here's what I did. I justified my behavior and said, well, that's not a big deal. They won't even notice. And I walked away from there and didn't do what was right. I wasn't doing justly at that point. I should have put a note on him and said, look, I've scraped your mirror, but there's just a little bit of a, mark there. give me a call, we'll work this out. That's what I should have done. That would have been the just thing to do. And I knew what was good, but I didn't do what was good. Did God forgive that? Yeah. Could I go back and fix it? No, because I didn't write a license plate down or anything, right? But life will be better if in those moments we'll do what's right. Yes. We'll do what's just rather than, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. Come on, it's they'll never know. It really wasn't my fault. If it's anybody's fault, it's whoever painted these lines on this parking lot. Because, you see, you can. What happens is you begin to self-justify rather than bring the justice that God demands. See, and he says, how's your life? See, I want your life to be so good. I want your life, every one of you, I want your life to be so good. And that's what God is saying. Come on, haven't I been good to you? Then why aren't you living your life like my goodness will account for something? Are you going to do what's right when you know what to do is right? You know, the Bible says this, he who knows what to do and doesn't do it, that's sin. Right? He who knows what not to do and does it anyway, that's sin. Right? And so we're talking about, what does God want me to do? He wants you to do what's right. Go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and the first chapter. Isaiah chapter 1. God's good. God wants the best for you. You know what God's plan was for Israel? You know, you've all read or heard most of the Old Testament. And Israel was up and down. They were in exile. They were out of exile. They were up and down. And it just seemed like, man, they're all over the place. Well, we haven't done a lot better. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We haven't done a lot better. But God's plan for Israel, for them to do what was right, so that he could continually have his hand of blessing over them. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but oftentimes it talks about, and the Lord caused this to happen to Israel, and it's something bad, like taken into captivity. The Lord caused this, or the Lord made this happen, or the plague, or whatever. But the reality is what happened was the Lord, because he's just, had to allow the recompense or the result of what they were doing to come upon them. Right? Exactly. And sometimes, even though he's forgiving us, his mercy is over us, but oftentimes we have to reap what we sow. Right? You buy a car you can't afford and you have to take it back because you can't afford the payments. That's not because God hasn't blessed you. It's because you didn't do what God wanted you to do in the first place. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Right? Come on. Chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of your God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is your multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. New moons and the Sabbath and the callings of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Now look at this. All of these things were ordinances of God that he prescribed through the law of Moses. Everything that he just read here, he just said, you know, this is what you need to do. If you do this, this needs to happen. If you do that, that needs to happen. This on this day, do this and on that. And he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing all of this? And it seems, you know, because they're doing it in the wrong way. Verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. For they are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isn't this good? Doesn't this sound good? What's he saying? For the New Testament believer, he says when you do this, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, but you aren't living justly. If you don't love mercy, if you're not walking humbly before the Lord, this doesn't mean anything. This is not a substitute for this. Come on. We just got to get real with God. Verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean, put away evil doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So in other words, even this is Old Testament, the principles still hold true to us. Right? See, what I'm calling us to do, and those that are here, those that are watching, is that, Lord, we need to come before you with our hearts. Because we want to walk in love. We want to be who you want us to be. Now what I'm talking about this morning, if we would take this as literal as the Bible says, there wouldn't be the situation in our country that we're facing right now. If the church would just apply what God has spoken to them, right, there wouldn't be what's going on. But what we've allowed is our hearts to be influenced by our traditions and by what other people have said and what other people viewpoint, instead of seeking God for the well-being of one another and allowing us to treat one another under the conditions of, first of all, doing what's right. Second of all, loving mercy. And thirdly, to walk humbly with thy God. See, that's the answer. What does God want us to do at this time of turmoil? Even with the election coming up, even with the riots that are happening in the streets, even with all that, what does God want us to do? He wants us to do exactly what this says. You know what to do. Do it. You know what's right. Do it. When a thought comes to your head that's contrary to what you know to do, rebuke that thought and think differently. Let the love of God begin to rule in your heart. Let the peace of God begin to rule in your heart. Right? Come on. Do what's right. Do what's right. Come on. It's up to us to seek God. See, what we're doing now is seeking God to save our nation, to heal our land, to take the injustice out of our land. But you know what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It's really easy to go, you need to do this, and they need to do that, and they need, and if you only did this, and if you only did, look at. That's ridiculous. First of all, and I heard this said, you know, on some of the talk shows, a guy was calling in, and this is what they should do. And the guy who was on it said, wait a minute. You don't have the right to tell them what they need to do because you have never been in the position that they're in. Right? So what should you do? You should do justly. You should love mercy. And you should walk humbly before your God. That's what you should do. So the first step is, God, where is my heart in all of this? And change my heart, O God. Right? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. I want to be like you. That's our motive, right? Come on, that's our motive. And so he's not really after us to... He loves our praise, and I love praise and worship, obviously. And I love in his presence, I love all of that, right? But I think God is asking us to come to the place where we're saying, okay, Lord, this needs to change. Right? You look at your TV screen, you see the things that are happening in our cities. This needs to change. But oftentimes, we do that from a preconceived idea rather than a seeking of God and saying, Lord, where is your heart in all of this? What is the right thing in all this? I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about your church. I'm talking about your city. God, what is your heart in this? Because I want to do what you want me to do. Can I get an amen? Right? Right? Do you want to know what to do? Do what's right. Do the right thing. Say the right thing. Right? How many of you have ever been in this situation where somebody is talking and what they're saying is just wrong? Just wrong. But you're not really in a position of authority or whatever, and so you don't say anything. You don't face that. That's wrong. You ought to stop it. You ought to say, excuse me, but that doesn't work here. That doesn't work. That's not right. Right? Are you listening to me? Come on. God requires of us to do what's right. He wants us to do what's right. Glory to God. Go to chapter 58. So in other words, God is not as interested. He is interested in your worship. God is interested in your worship. I don't ever want to get that twisted. God loves it when you worship Him. But He wants you to worship Him with a pure heart. And a pure heart is, I'm going to do what's right. How many know that you're more right than the person that you're mad at? Come on. Right, from your perspective, you're right. And they're wrong. Sometimes what you think is right isn't the full right. And what you need to do is go before God and say, Lord, this is what I think, but I need to know what you think. And that comes, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more, in humbling yourself before God. Putting your heart before God and say, God, I want what you want no matter what it costs me, God. That's what I desire. Isaiah 58, look at verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you would break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you would bring to the house to the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, you cover them, and you hide yourself from your own flesh. When your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And I will cry, and He will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke of your midst, the pointing of finger and speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted of soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you will be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. What is this saying? This is saying, do what's right. If you find somebody that's hungry, feed them. If you find somebody that's naked, give them some clothes. If you have it within yourself to fix the situation, do it. If you know somebody that needs love, love them. Quit looking down our noses at people that aren't like us and say, God. Can you just imagine for a moment? The worst person that you could think of. I mean, just, you know, they smell, they stink, they, you know. Well, I'll just tell you this experience we had. This was right before we left the other building, and Donnie and I were and this fellow came in. And when I say this fellow, he was probably 6'5", 6'6", and he weighed almost all of 300 pounds. Big guy. But man, he was drunk as a skunk. Right? And he came in and, and I said, well, come on into the office. And he sat down in the office and I said, well, how's it going? Well, I'm sent here by the Lord to patrol these grounds. These grounds are our grounds. And, you know, God has called me a prophet over these areas. And you know, of course, it was more colorfully languaged, if I can just say it that way. It was, you know, you're saying the white people have this over and done that and done MRSP, and you guys are all stupid, and you know, and I started to quote a little bit of the Bible to him. You don't know what the heck you're talking about, and you know, and he got up and he got loud and he got big, and in the middle of it, he grabbed a 16 or a 20 ouncer out of his bag and cracked it open, and you know, and just started going and. Then it got a little bit threatening. And I just said, this is over. You know, we're done here. Because his language, I mean, I said, we're done here. And, sure. Can I use the bathroom? Sure, go ahead, use the bathroom, right? But we're done here. And it was threatened. Donnie was in the other office, and she said she had 911 on speed dial because it was that kind of aggressive type of thing. But here's the deal. If that man came in here today, even if he was dispelling and all of the things that he did, I still have to have a heart for him. I don't have to put up with his shenanigans, right? There's boundaries. But I have to believe God for the best for him. Are you listening? To do what's right is to say, man, God loves you. God wants you to be free. God wants to heal your heart. God wants to touch you. But I can't do that if I'm justifying my indignation at him because I don't fully understand where he's come from. I have to do what's just. I have to be a man who loves justice. Right? There's a lot of things that are being said of the injustice that's been in our country. And we have to admit that it has been here. Yeah, there are a lot of things that aren't right. So what do we do about that? We do what's right. We make the adjustment in our own heart at what's right. That's not right, and we're not going to allow that anymore. This is right, and we are going to promote that. Right, God, what do? I can't do anything about anybody else, but I can do something about me. Amen? Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. I hope y'all are getting something, and I am just believing God. Again, I'm not here to put anybody under condemnation, but what I really am here to do is to put us in a position where God can speak to us. How many want to hear God's voice? Well, we can't have selective hearing. Do you know how older people get selective hearing? Sometimes husbands and wives can have selective hearing, right? If we really want to hear from God, we cannot have selective hearing. We've got to say, God, I really want to hear what you have to say, and especially where I'm concerned, God. If I want to do justly, I need to have God's heart for what's just. And I let's read this verse. Chapter 21 and verse 3. Hang on. 21 verse 3 says, "Do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." To do righteousness and justice. To do righteousness and justice is more beneficial, more, come on. So when you're in the middle of an unjust situation that you're seeing, that you're demonstrating in, that you're declaring, for God would be more pleased with you for you to say or do the right thing than to stand, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, no, God wants you to do what's right. What does God want you to do? He wants you to do what's right. He wants us to do what's right. And what's really cool is that God gives us the ability to do it. Did you know on the inside of you is the absolute source of knowing what to do? Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to give you the Counselor, the Comforter, the Paracletos. I'm going to give you wisdom from me. But we have to have an ear to hear what He's saying. I just wonder when the last time that you really heard from into your own and admitted, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. And you allowed God. Now, that's just one step. I was wrong. So, Lord, what do I need to do to fix it so that wrongness doesn't keep happening? I need to walk humbly before God and allow His opinion to be my opinion, to allow His word to be my final authority. Come on. If I want God's blessing, continue. Like His mercy is so cool. Because if I blow it, He's going to help me up. Right? He's going to fix me up. But the reality is if I keep doing the wrong thing, I'm not going to receive what He has for me. Right? Come on. It's so good. It's so good. Let's go to Mark. Like I said, this is going to take me a few weeks to get through this. That's okay. Mark. The book of Mark. Am I reading from the Bible today? So is it true today, what I'm saying? Right? Are you going to allow God to touch you in this and change you in this? Hallelujah. You know, it's really, I like to read the Bible for other people. Let me say that again. I like to read the Bible for other people. And what I'm saying is that it's a lot easier for me to apply the Bible to you than it is for to apply it to me. In other words, I see this in you, and man, I got some verses for you. Right? But God is saying, excuse me, I've got some verses for you. Right? So it's like, let's start reading the Bible for us and saying, God, show me in Your Word what is right. Show me in Your Word what You think. Show me in Your Word. And watch this. Anything that doesn't line up with justice, mercy, and humility before God, you're reading the Bible wrong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 12 of Mark's Gospel. And the 30th verse. Well, actually, let's go back to 28. One of the scribes came, having heard him reason together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first commandment is, 'Hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Is it easy? Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But if you're going to do what's right, then these have to be the center point of your life. I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my strength. In other words, everything that He says, I'm going to love. When He tells me to do something, I'm going to love doing it. And then, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? The ones you like down the street? Right? You know, everybody in the cul-de-sac except that one house. Right? You all know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, Lord, and again, I'm not saying that you just put a blanket over them and say, oh, you come do whatever you want to me, I'm just going to love you anyway. There's boundaries that you put up, but you have to guard your heart. Right? So the love is coming out of your heart for them. It's like with our kids, when we discipline our kids, it's not because we hate our kids, it's because we want their lives to be better than what they're going to be if we continue to allow them to be rebellious. There's boundaries around that love, but the love has to be the motivation. And even of our kids, when we're raising our kids, sometimes we punish our kids because they've been inconvenienced to us rather than doing what's best for them. Come on. No, you can't have an ice cream, because if you have one, I won't get one after you go to bed. I mean, that's silly, right? But the principle is there. You hear what I'm saying? And so, like, Lord, make my life to be like your life. Make me to be like you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Two more scriptures and we'll close, and we'll pick it up the next time I'm here. Titus, the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. If you got to Hebrews, you went too far. Titus chapter 2. I know I use a lot of scripture, but I want you to hear this from the scripture. I'm not talking just my opinion. I'm telling you what God wants. What does the Lord want from you? He wants you to do what's right. He wants you to do what's just. He wants you to do what's fair. Come on. Verse 11. For the grace of God brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Does that really take any explanation? First of all, again, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that's guiding you to what's right. But if you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, then you're not living justly. Right? So what we have to do is we have to come to the place where, God, I'm just submitting to you. No, God, I want to cheat on my taxes. But I'm not going to do it. I know I can get away with it, but I'm not going to do it. Years ago, I was at Rhema, and there was a deduction that I took. I had an accountant do it, but it was a gray area, a deduction that I took about my schooling. Well, you could deduct the amount of tuition if you were a full-time minister getting more education. Well, I'd ministered other places, and I think I even had an ordination license to preach at that time. But I didn't fully meet all the requirements to have that deduction, but took it anyway. And you know what? That bothered me. On the inside, it bothered me. Why? Because the just one was trying to deal with my heart, and to most people, big deal. But right, if I want to do what's right, if I want to hear from God, if I want to know what to do, I have to become sensitive to even that little thing. I called the accountant and said, listen, we need to do an addendum to my taxes. He said, what? I said, we need to, I don't know what it cost me, $300-$400. which I didn't have at the time, but I needed to do justly because that's what the Lord required of me. So the little simple things, right, that you think about, well, you know, I got mad, but they deserve my wrath. Well, back up just a little bit. You might have had the right to be angry with their actions, but you didn't have the right to act that way. What does the Lord require of you to do right? To do what's just, even when it doesn't feel good. See, it's really not. My mom used to say this, and my mom was an angel. When I'd come to her with, well, Johnny gets to do that. Well, you're not Johnny. And I'm not Johnny's mama. Or if I'd come at her whining about my two older brothers beating me up in an argument. I'd say, but Vern, but Pat, and she'd say, I'm not talking about Vern or Pat. I'm talking about you. Right? And that's the way we have to be with an open heart before the Lord. Lord, I really want you to deal with my heart. Psalm 51, David pouring his heart out. After he tried self-justification, after he tried to get away with things, he said, Lord, it's against you and you only have I sinned and done this terrible thing in your sight. And then he goes on, you know, create in me a heart. Take this iniquity away from me. Create in me a new heart. God, I want change because I want to do right. I want to do right. Real quick, and we'll close with this. First Peter chapter 1. Y'all doing okay? You still love me? Awesome. First Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And it's talking about us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, for now, for a little while, if need be, you have grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen you love, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Come on. Even though we're going through stuff, even though life may not be fair, I mean, how many of you know just felt like life isn't fair? This isn't fair, right? I think we've all been there. This isn't fair, God. This isn't. Why, God? Why me? You know, I'm your favorite, God. You know, God. Come on, God. Oh, God. What am I supposed to do? Strike him dead. You know, whatever. But watch this. It says, yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible joy. With joy inexpressible and full of glory. Come on. God, I want to please you more than I want to please myself. I want to do righteously. I want to do what's right. Holy Spirit, show me what's right. And even though if I'm kicking and screaming, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Even if it costs me everything. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to be all over it. Because I know that you want me to do justly. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? What are you going to do about it? Right? I believe God's speaking to us, right? What are we going to do about it? You know, are we going to go home and just go, man, that was a good sermon today. Or not. I mean, yeah, I'm just assuming you're going to say that. But anyway, it's like, no, Lord. Examine my heart, Lord. If there's things in my life that are going on in my life, relationally, occupationally, Lord, I just want you to examine my heart and help me, Holy Spirit, to do what's right. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we could be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There are none of us that are perfect, Lord. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So every one of us need Jesus to take and bear our sins so that we can be forgiven in your sight. So if there's anybody that's listening that's never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now is a great time, and it's real simple. It needs to come from your heart. You have to believe this in your heart and say it with your mouth. Father God, I thank you right now. Everybody say this with me. Father God, I thank you right now that Jesus is Lord, and that, Father, you raised him from the dead. He died bearing my sins, but he was raised carrying my justification. Jesus, be Lord of my life. I give you my life right now. Help me, lead me, guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, he's forgiven you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.